Hello?
All right. Hi, we're live. Brian Brushwood is on the air. Hold on, let me... Saturday, July...
You didn't notice that you woke me up. Because
you
it's
fucking aren't... I just got on the phone with you, you piece of shit.
Yeah, I'm a narcoleptic. I never told you this. This is a rare thing. Hey, is there a chat room I can open?
It should be on Justin TV. Let me actually tweet out this link.
I don't know if I have. Can somebody at reply me instructions to how to open it up in Colloquy? I have Colloquy, but I don't.
Dude, I've tried to do it, and I might just be stupid and frustrated very easily about things, but like that was like trying to make a nuclear bomb, trying to find the fucking Justin TV chat on Colloquy.
I just ended up showing up in Twit Live accidentally.
Mm-hmm. All right. So that's tweeted out. Welcome everybody. I don't know if Brian. Normally there's like a theme song and like I play like music. Before Jerry Saturdays.
I know what it's got to be. It's got to be from the Karate Kid. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever take you down. You're the best. This should be our take off our clothes and shit in the box dance. Isn't that how you celebrate?
I don't know. Is that a traditional Indonesian celebration? Is taking off your clothes and shitting in a box?
Maybe it's just me because I've been doing that and I'm getting some, you know, some whoops of approval and punches of approval.
So now you did. You were already on TV. Well, you want to know what? Here, I won't play a song, but I will. I'll do the traditional Jury Saturday intro song, and then we'll do like an intro so people can cut this out and make it a thing. Because I know people like to put this up on YouTube. So here's the official beginning of the show. Welcome, everybody, to a very, very special episode of Jury Saturday. My name is Justin Robert Young, and I started this this Jury Friday / Saturday podcast thing because I really like doing a one-mic radio show, and I do a lot with other people, but I wanted a chance to just kind of do a one-mic thing because I really am fascinated by that concept. But on this particular episode, we're making a big, fat exception. Because joining me live from Indonesia is none other than my partner in crime on NSFW show and the Weird Things podcast. He just, was it yesterday you did a show for 70 million Indonesian television viewers?
Oh, hells yes. That's how I got big and fat. That's why I'm the big fat exception.
You are, yes.
Sorry to just sort of bust in on you.
No. This is a very big exception because, of course, this is the first time that we've talked publicly since the release of the really what people are calling the greatest literary work of the modern era by the divine Miss Patricia Harkins Bradley, The Diamond Club, a novel.
Yes, indeed. And I'll tell you what, we can address the big controversy. They're talking about it in all of the comments on YouTube. Are you and I, in fact, totally gay for each other?
Big time. Big time. We're way gay. We are actually having gay Skype mutual masturbation session. And then I'm like, oh, fuck. I have to. And I said, oh, fuck, like right as I came. Because I was very startled, and that's what really gets me off is my startling myself. And I'm like, oh, Jury Friday is supposed to be now. So I came on, and I'm like, well, why don't we just jerk each other off in terms of celebration on the show? And so that's what we're doing right now.
Yeah, and then that was when I realized I was a little bit more socially appropriate. Man, do I wish I could see the chat room. I'm going to see if I can call it up on the iPad. Or you know what? Maybe I'll.
Yeah, if somebody can go ahead and on at Schwood, just go ahead and at reply Brian with how to get up the Justin TV chat for my channel on Colloquy, so we can see the chat room. But you know, I guess here's what happens. We do the last time that you guys saw me and Brian together was on the NSFW show. We launched the book. It goes to number 4. And we will talk about all of this again on NSFW show. So anybody listening to this, prepare to hear shit that you're going to hear again in a couple days. And I'm going to be on Twitter. I'm going to be on Twitter tomorrow. Brian's going to be on Twitter a week after that. So you're going to hear a lot of this story over and fucking over again.
Well, as we like to call Jury Friday, the new practicing for the rest of the week. This is you're just going to nothing but rough cuts. Rough
exactly.
Cuts is the new name of the show.
Yeah, no, we're field testing a lot of this shit. You know, it's like. It's basically like, you know, like the Daniel Tosh rape joke. Like he was just trying to work out some new material. We're going to do that, but slightly more offensive.
Awesome. Hey, talking about working out new material, can I share my billion-dollar idea? My billion-dollar follow-up to the trillion-dollar diamond club?
Well, hold on. Let's go ahead and save that as a radio tease as we, okay. As we tell. We will reveal before the end of this Jury Saturday, we will reveal Brian's what I got. Is I got a voice message nope. This morning.
Can you play it? Can you play it for them?
I got a voice message this morning. Yes, I can actually. Let me make sure I still have it. I definitely still have it. I got a voice message this morning that in all of my friendship with Brian Brushwood, and mind you, this is a friendship that has literally been defined from the word go of me and Brian trying to out-silly the other one. Like, we met under a context where, like, as soon as the professional element of, like, interviewer and subject was kind of dispatched and we realized that we were both very much gay for each other, it has pretty much been defined by one person saying something ridiculous and the other one looking at him blank-faced and then saying something even more ridiculous until we both start laughing. Like, that's yes. Pretty much the basis of our friendship. I got a message from Brian. That is the most silly thing I've ever heard out of his mouth. And I will play that for you, and Brian will describe it later in the show. But let's talk real quick about what happens from when we last left our audience on NSFW show. Because it was kind of odd. Like, we've never done a show in the Twit Brick House together. We did that.
Yes.
And then we both, within hours, flew other places to do other things, like you far, of, much farther than me, but definitely like it was odd, like it was like everything kind of happened in a very surreal manner.
Well, we get accused of like lighting stuff on fire and then just running away, but this is the closest we've physically come to doing it. Like, we spent a month working on this thing. We launched this Ship of Sea. We put together that video. That video on YouTube is over 80,000 views now. It explodes on the Reddit. Everyone, you know, fully one half of everyone thinks we're assholes. The other half thinks we're geniuses. And then we launch the NSFW show and physically leave the state. And only check in, just kind of look up from time to time. Now, normally, anytime we do anything, there's the buildup, there's the launch, and then there's the incessant, repeated pleas to please, please keep it alive. Not this time, man.
No.
There's gasoline poured all over the internet, and we just barely sparked a spliff because we wanted to get high in a corner. But then Justin, like an asshole, flicked the roach out before it was quite done. Tie in another metaphor here.
No, that's fine. Work on it. We'll come back to you. It was the weirdest thing because normally there's the element of telethon to our scams, right? Like there's an element, and not even just scams, like but just any project of ours, like be it the Night Attack album, be it the Scam School book, be it any of our, like, hey, let's try to get to the top of Dig, back before Dig was the new Dig, back when the new Dig was the old Dig before it was the new Dig again.
Real quick, can I comment on that too? Have you noticed now that I've seen us launch stuff on Reddit, right before Dig took a big old dump, it seemed like they were having a problem with self-righteous cocks who wanted very much to be in charge of burying shit and of taking on everything. And it seemed like to fix that, they tried to make the new dig because they were having a problem, and that dig was becoming an oligarchy. Boy, am I ever seeing a very, whereas Reddit was this positive community. They were the people who love things. But man, oh man, am I smelling some very dig-like stink on Reddit these days?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the question was, is that, I mean, because certainly we saw once dig went away from that, they died. You know, they went from, Google's going to acquire you for a shit ton of money, not just in the Spaceballs, in the parlance of Spaceballs, not money, Brian. They're doing it for a shit ton of money. you know, they went from that to not in existence, and Reddit is something that, like, yeah, that is the oligarchy now, but is that not the secret to success? You know?
Maybe it is. Maybe that's exactly what it needs to be. But that's not, neither here nor there. The fact that it blew up on Reddit and exploded so organically, like, I think sometimes, and I wonder if the chat realm would be the first to agree with us on this, I think that sometimes we mentally make the trade-off between what is a funnier idea and what is an idea that has much, much more mainstream appeal. And I think in this case, we hit a rare instance where the two were exactly the same, where exactly what we thought would be hilarious happens to be exactly the parody and the social commentary satire that everybody was waiting to participate in.
And here's what is different today about the Diamond Club book than it was when we made that video, and we even did NSFW show that night. Here's what's different. The success and longevity of it gives us the license, for which I will use liberally, to go from describing this as a silly prank to the extremely annoying element of us defining it as art. Like, that is what the success gives us the license to do, is that now that it's been successful, we can now say, well, really, here are the overarching themes for which we are illustrating in the way that art would.
Yes. Well, and here's the thing. The longer, and you pointed it out, the longer it stays on there, the more it's not BS. Like, we're in that mushy middle right now where when we started, as we are prone to do, we didn't want to label it as anything but pranking and trolling because you could hit number 9 on the top 10 for one day and then give ourselves a high five because we did it. We trolled them bitches. Ha ha. There's 3 1-star reviews. But the longer it stays number 4, and to me, the real referendum on whether or not this is art is the more it battles back and forth between 5-star and 1-star reviews. We were talking about this before we went on the air. That is the first thing I check every time I wake up, is to see what the latest 5-star reviews are, because some of them are old faces I remember who haven't participated in a chat realm thing in years. There was one from it was beautifully written. It says it puts the capital E in erotic fiction and went on in all these directions. It was hilarious. It ended saying, Patricia Harkins Bradley must truly be the offspring of Ayn Rand and Tenacious D.
Yes.
And then I look, and it says, from Captain MG.
Yes! I read that. I didn't realize that was from the good captain. Permission to come aboard, Captain MG. Now, by the way, Kevin Dublin is pointing out that we do have a bit of a problem, Brian. We do have the curse of 4. Because if you remember, the Night Attack comedy album hit number 4. Diamond Club has hit 4. We have the curse of 4.
Scam School did hit 3, and I'm told in Canada, we overtook the third.
We did. I think. I don't know if we still have. I think that we did. Chris Ronan says we haven't pushed Amazon yet. We've only hawked iBook so far. Amazon is ripe. It is on Amazon. You can buy it on Amazon. You know, I don't know the ability of doing like a big push on Amazon like we did on the iBook store.
Here's the difference is our theory was that being in that magic top 10 and having good reviews and looking like the other thing would be enough to make it self-sustaining regardless of what was on the inside. And that theory is validated.
Yeah.
Now, we could try to replicate that on Amazon, but here's the problem. Amazon is orders of magnitude more difficult to bully your way into the top 10 on.
Yeah.
You know, it was a big deal that we even cracked the top 50 for just a second. So it would require an inordinate amount of marshaling the troops, and of it would become the Brian and Justin telethon at that point. But we would have less interest in people giving more money to it. And at this point, we have finally, in all of our jokes and commentary, we finally have something that everybody seems to think is hilarious and can grow on its own. So if it does, that would be great, and we would love it. But I don't know that we want to grab the mic and sing one more song just begging for $1,000 more for the children.
Yeah, yeah. And here ultimately is why I don't think us doing the Amazon thing is pushing it the way that we did iBooks would be a great idea, because number one, we've kind of proven, as press has come in about this, that people looking at the iBook store as a legitimate thing is narratively enough for people to talk about. You know, nobody in the stories that have been written about this or the blog posts that have been written about this say, well, look, it's the only thing below 50 Shades of Grey, or the only thing that it's beating it is 50 Shades of Grey itself on the iBook store. No one has said, but don't worry, the iBook store is bullshit. Nobody buys shit there. Like, nobody
right,
said that.
Right, it's legitimate. Yeah, exactly. Whereas, you know, let's say we did make a big push. You know, number one, it's doubtful that we would nestle up to the same position underneath it. And even if we did, it wouldn't change the narrative or the story in any substantial way at all. It would be a tedious footnote to the story. And on top of that, like, you might be able to say, yeah, but there's more money in the Amazon store. But now, my friends of Chat Realm, now you get to see why I like iTunes bookstore so much better as an author, because like, if the goal is to make more money, I wouldn't even bother putting it on fucking Amazon. For, I mean, they take 70%. You get 30%.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, there's money in it. There's definite money in it, you know, but, and especially if we're looking at it as ancillary revenue, there's a lot of money in it, but at the same time, what will get us a lot of money on Amazon and will push us up the charts is if all of a sudden, you know, if this stays up there, I mean, like, you know, what if we get written up? Let's say theoretically that we got word to Newsday, which, by the way, was the paper for which Mike McGrady marshaled the people who wrote Naked Came the Stranger. And we said, hey, like, by the way, Mike McGrady died this year in his honor, which is true, you know.
Yes. I mean, we knew very well of his work, and we knew very well of his experiment, and we had great respect enough to model what we're doing on.
Absolutely. And a lot of it, this is the Naked Came the Stranger playbook. All the various writers, all the different jobs, all the complete lack of plot cohesion and the isolation of only sex as the only thing that we were selling. That's all Naked Came the Stranger. If, let's say, we were to do that, and now all of a sudden, in a major metropolitan newspaper, we're written up as, you know, McGrady remembered, you know, by internet pranksters with a modern era Naked Came the Stranger. Like, now all of a sudden, and we list, and we say on there, in that article, buy it on Amazon, buy it on iBooks. Now all of a sudden, that's a big thing. And again, me and Brian have talked about, the longer this is up there, it doesn't get less news value-y. It gets more news value-y.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the difference between what we're doing now and all of our other shenanigans. Every time we do something else, it gets stale and the joke wears thin, and you might have like a version 2.0 that gets a little bit of interest, but not this, man. The longer it stays there and the louder people argue about whether this is good or bad or whatever, which, by the way, I think my favorite review at this second might be the one that said 50 Shades of Grey was a children's book compared to this. And essentially, the reviewer thought it was too filthy, like was upset that every other word was
It's filthy. I mean, it's I think it probably is shameful that I will say that I've only started reading the book after it became a success. I share a great kinship with everybody who's bought the book since we started talking about it, because I hadn't read it until...
I still have not. Maybe I'll read it on the flight back. But you were saying it made you guffaw out loud on an airplane.
Oh, yeah, no, I was flying back from Columbus, well, actually, it was D.C. to SFO, and I embarrassed myself. I embarrassed myself with the following, I can read the following things that made me laugh so fucking hard that I embarrassed myself, because I made notes on the iBook app on my iPhone. I mean, here we go. Okay, let's go to the notes. Here was the first one, and I'll read you what notes I wrote to myself, because in the iBooks app you can highlight it, and then it brings you to a thing where you can note why you highlighted it. And I just wrote amazing to this. I looked down at my sweaty naked body to see a cat, orange and white, rubbing its back in between my legs. It was dripping with some kind of fluid. It looked at me and purred. I thought for a moment, was this cat licking my pussy as I slept? Diamond Club book, Diamond Club, a novel by Patricia Harkins Bradley, available on the iBook store for only 99 cents. Let's move right along. Why don't we? This one, I thought this is clean. This is a clean line. Never before had I had sex in a public restroom, much less in the second busiest airport in the state of California, according to Wikipedia.
So, hey, real quick, on the, what was that one where you said it was clearly written for two guys having sex, but they just, like, swapped out two words?
That is the, I forget what the chapter is, but she fucks a person in an airport bathroom, and there are definitely lines that have the airport, the flight attendant kissing the shaft of her pussy.
Like, now, was that a case where somebody just had that laying around, like, from a previous effort and just sort of tried to...
I don't know. Actually, it actually did make me worried that I became afraid that people had just plagiarized other erotic fiction and we were selling it.
Yeah, that is the only way that we could get totally...
Totally fucked on this. But...
That would be the end of it.
But, I think it might have initially been... Because I remember there was one chapter where me and you fucked each other.
Oh, you know what? Maybe that was it. Because I remember somebody on Twitter saying, should have left it Brian and Justin.
Yeah.
So maybe that's it.
And I think that might have been it. But let me move right. Actually, this is from that chapter. He stood up and kissed me on the asshole with his soft lips.
Now, this is the one that you lost it for.
I absolutely... lost it on this one. Just for the visual of somebody standing up and just, like, casually. Because it's very hard physically to casually kiss somebody on the asshole. Like, you can kiss somebody on the ass very casually. You can kiss somebody on the ass cheek very casually. But just like a peck. It's hard. Like, it requires hands. Like, you have to spread an ass to kiss somebody on the asshole very casually. Just, sure. It was a very funny image of me. Somebody standing up and just on the way north decides to, like, just a real kiss, like a butterfly kiss right on the asshole. Not a, people are saying T-I-B. Not a T-I-B. Not a tongue in the asshole. Just a sweet right on the asshole. That was it's a very funny idea to me. And I wrote, my note to that one was crying. Here's a note that I wrote, just awesome. He set the menu on the table with such precision and gentleness. I couldn't help but look at his large hands. They held signs of work, but were lithe like the wings of a moth.
The moth. I mean, here's the thing. Do you think that was an intentional, hilariously?
But it might be a moth. I don't know.
Yeah.
Either way, it's the funniest thing that I could have possibly thought of. Actually,
oh,
no.
My God.
This is the note I wrote on this was the best concept ever imagined. And I mean this seriously. This is John Waters' brilliant. This is a really, like, when anybody bitches.
This is my favorite thing in the entire book. This is what I will tell my grandchildren about when I explain to them about the romance book we wrote.
Anybody who says that we are ripping people off for 99 cents, I will counter with, you can be disappointed in this idea. You can not agree with this idea, but that is the risk with art, right? You take a chance on art. If it is not to your sensibilities, then it's not to your sensibilities. But the only thing that you can criticize people for, in my opinion, is being lazy with art. And this book, for this one thing alone, this one concept alone, can never be described as lazy. This is a daring, interesting, creative, and brilliant concept.
So with a straight face deliver in what ostensibly, like, again, we now know of at least 114 confirmed people who were not in on the joke, who are 124 as of right now, one-star reviews, because I'm assuming nobody who's in on the joke and likes it went and did a one-star review.
Jokingly.
124 women read what they thought was a traditional romance novel and encountered the following passage.
Very quick setup. Our heroine, Brianna Young, is sleeping with is in the process of sexing up a Iraqi war veteran who had one of his legs amputated due to a war injury. She finds out that he has a very large penis. He then says the following. This is a direct quote. "You know how they say that a blind man's other senses, hearing and smell, etc., get stronger since his vision is gone? Well, that's what the doctors say is happening to me. My left leg is mostly gone, but my, is growing to compensate. In a few months, I'll get a special shoe fitted for it."
I want you to read that on Twit tomorrow. I want that to be the defining quote from the book.
Anybody who tells me that is not brilliant, that is John Waters brilliant. You would see that in a John Waters movie. A guy whose leg is amputated and finds that, like a blind, like Daredevil. This is a Daredevil of dicks. His dick is growing to the point where he's going to fit a shoe around the head of his dick and walk on his fucking dick and a right leg.
His gait will be very odd because most of the time it'll be like step and gelatinous flobble, step gelatinous flobble.
I know.
And then every swap, he'll just, but when he gets excited, he'll just have to hop one leg in anyway. It's like, and it's just going to be harder to carry a cactus around.
It's the most brilliant thing most creative and brilliant thing that I've read in a very long time. And I'm so thrilled that our names are anywhere a part of it and that we had any part in making it a reality.
Speaking of which, normally this is the kind of thing we would do on NSFW, but it's only recent news that you're going to be on Twit tomorrow. I wonder if we should call out some more choice quotes. You know, nothing too dirty to be said on Twit, but I guarantee you this topic of conversation, you know, Leo's going to want to read something. So if that's the case, we ought to have our slam dunks all lined up.
No, definitely. Also, I do want to point out that I got a big rash of shit from Kiala of the Vaginal Fantasy Podcast on Twitter for forgetting her name.
Yes. So good.
I got a, and the other one whose name I can't remember, like, you'll rue the day, young.
Wow, how amazing was that moment? How surreal was that moment of having Veronica Belmont on the Vaginal Fantasy Podcast? Are you really not even allowed to say the name of the show on Twit? Is that a real deal?
I mean, I don't know. It depends on what Leo
wants. It depends
on
which Leo shows up.
Well, I mean, listen, it says network. You can say, I think on Mac Break, like, you just didn't want to say it. So, you know, the live stream. We said it a lot on NSFW. So, you know,
yeah.
We haven't gotten reprimanded about it. By the way, that the thing is, officially, we're never getting canceled off Twit. Like, if that was ever a thing before, it's not a thing ever again.
No, you think just because we're busting out in the real mainstream press and merry internet pranksters bringing in more people?
Yeah, I mean, when we have the possibility of ever doing this again, what's the cost?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's true. That's true.
So, yeah, listen. Man, it's been amazing. All right, you want to know what? We'll tease it. We'll tease it now. I just got a text message. Hold on, I'll read this. I don't know if I'm betraying privacy here, but
it's from Lana Jenko.
It is not from Lana Jenko. this comes from, I don't know if I'll say his name, but a friend of mine. You made my day today. My owner's wife bought your book, and I found out today she didn't know about NSFW show, but she reads all that dirty shit.
Oh, no. She's a true, she's a real person?
I'm asking right now. Did you tell her about it?
Oh, my God. That is amazing, if that is the case. Well, you know what I just realized I could do? Is I'm going to try opening up Justin.tv and going to at least your chat channel, see if I can go there.
SQ Freak says, I'm sorry, your owner? Are you SMSing a slave? No, I think the owner of his company. All right, we will tease this. All right, so I'll tease the tease. I'm going to talk about very soft numbers on Twit tomorrow. Extraordinarily soft, just like ballpark where we're at, what we've sold. Once we have a week's worth of data, because we feel that like that would be the most relevant to people, is us giving a week's
yes.
snapshot of what this looks like. We will talk about that on NSFW. And we will, that's nitty gritty. Every motherfucking red cent. We're dropping trow and spreading cheeks on exactly how much money.
Because we want a peck on the asshole.
A soft kiss on my asshole. He stood up and softly kissed my asshole. That's it. He softly kissed and then left the asshole. Who does
I'll
that?
I'll tell you what, man. If you want to blow your brains out with jealous, fantastic giddiness, wrap your mind around the fact that however much we're making, understand definitely in hard sales just on the iTunes store, because we're blown away by how well it's doing.
Yeah.
But in hard numbers, there's a better selling book called 50 Shades of Grey, and it's two brothers. So three times as many books and more sales per book, plus selling for 10 times the cost. That, I mean, it's like that blows my mind.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So we're going to figure out, we're going to reveal everything on NSFW show. That's what we've agreed to do. Those are the people that made it happen. Those are the people that deserve to hear it first. So, you know, that's the plan on Tuesday.
Hey, we should.
And you're live in studio again, right?
Yes. We got to figure out what we're going to do. It's going to be awesome.
The DragonCon thing is still happening, and we're definitely figuring out. Now we have obviously a little bit of a different perspective on what we can do for the people that wrote it. But we do want to take care of those people first and foremost, right, Brian? We want to do something
absolutely.
Really nice for everybody who wrote for the Diamond Club book. And I do want to do something nice for my friends who designed the cover that we didn't use, because I'm not saying that it's related, but my friend who chiefly designed the cover that we didn't use, when I posted about it on Facebook, he just leaves the comment, "Nice cover, asshole." And then I don't know whether it's related, a hilarious, semi-embarrassing picture from college popped up on my Wikipedia.
Yeah.
And the person who put it up was the guy who helped, who developed along with a couple of other friends, that other cover that we were going to use before we called the Audible, to use the other one. Which is funny, because I was talking about that with a friend of mine, and I was like, you know, the thing is, I still like that other cover better, but now, like, there really is, even if I still legitimately think that the book would be an exactly the same hit, you know, otherwise, like, there's just, now, the argument's over. Because you can't remove any element of this and then say, well, it would have done bigger or better, you know?
Right.
You know, there's no way, because now it's all hypotheticals and you're arguing on the wrong side of the hypothetical. So it's like,
Right. Like
as much as I like the other cover more, you know, it doesn't matter. Although I want a special edition of the book with that cover. That's what that is. I mean, in terms of, we're getting a lot of really good questions here. You know, are we going to do an audio version? Are we going to do a print run of the book? You know, I don't know. I really don't know. There's also the fact that, like, there's a lot of shit that I think, Brian, we would think is just completely ridiculous when we launched it fucking 5 days ago. That now doesn't seem insane. Like, let's say a publisher came to us and said, we want to sell this book. Like, that's something that's like, that's, you know, silly, but at the same time, now that it has been a thing and it continues to be a thing and shows little sign of not being a thing.
Well, I'll tell you what, oh my God, I didn't even think about that aspect, right? So it's like, we were excited to fool Lonely Housewives. What happens when we start fooling industry representatives who know one thing? Here's a new hot author with the number four best-selling book cozying up right next to 50 Shades of Grey. That would be amazing.
Okay. So I asked him, did you tell her about it? And this is what he sends me back. No. The girls in the office fucking masturbate to 50 Shades and talk about it. If it reached a random person in Rhode Island, you guys must be doing well with it. She can't figure out why it's up so high. She didn't even finish it.
Oh, so much win. So much win times a million. This is it every way. This moment that happened right now was all I wanted when we launched the idea 1 month and 2 weeks ago. Yes, happiness.
Well, because the idea is find out what everybody's talking about. At this point, it's you know, I mean, let's not forget that if we are to measure ourselves against Naked Came the Stranger was a New York Times bestseller.
Holy shit. Wow.
You know? So, it's like all the people care about, when you're talking about selling books, all you care about is publicity.
So here's
publicity.
The difference is that Naked Came the Stranger was good enough that people who were looking for sex read it and told their friends to buy it, and that's how it ended up on the New York bestseller.
No, I mean, like, and I haven't read, much like our own book, Naked Game, the Stranger, and the Diamond Club are also alike in that I've read neither of them.
Right.
But from the point of Naked Game, the Stranger, was that it was intentionally edited to be shit, you know, like, it was edited to be exactly what we did, to be completely incoherent, to not have any character development and just only deliver on what I am so pleased has become a iconic part of this this whole experiment. Banging.
Yeah, by the way, what a day. Like, considering we woke up that morning, man, I cannot believe it's just been 5 days, because Monday morning, and it was like an afterthought. It was like this flash of like, oh, fuck, there's no way we can launch this and explain our idea just in text. It's like, we need a tightly edited video And so we recorded that. It took us like 5 minutes. And originally we're like, we could do this on iMovie. Well, it turns out iMovie is way lousy with precise cuts on lots of little moments like that. And so we ended up having to use an edit bay at Revision 3. And thankfully they were cool with us throwing that together. Zach Miner even helped us compile it in the right format so that we could push it to YouTube. And luckily they thought it was hilarious over there. So huge thanks. I mean, Revision 3, if you ask me, as important to the actual book and what's inside, as important as the cover, as important was of the push, was the video auditioning ourselves to and our idea to the master.
No, that was absolutely crucial. And this would not have had the success that it had if it weren't for that book. Now, let me read for you something, Brian. This is from digitaljournal.com.
All right.
Headline, Authors Troll 50 Shades Trilogy with New Book. Written by Brian LaSorsa yesterday.
Okay.
21 hours ago. There's nothing like trolling soccer moms. Two men have realized this all too well, and they plan to make a few bucks along the way. Brian Brushwood and Justin Young, co-hosts of the weekly web show NSFW, noticed a trend in the publishing industry. Erotic fiction is selling like hotcakes. British author E.L. James' 50 Shades trilogy consists of the top three best-selling books almost anywhere you look. And in June, the first installment even surpassed J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter as the fastest-selling paperback of all time. So, we're looking at the top 10 ebooks on the iBook store, said the duo, and we noticed something, a bunch of books that just look like 50 Shades of Grey. End quote. That's when they decided, why not write a book that looks like 50 Shades of Grey, sell out of the iTunes store, and see what happens? Better yet, why not find random people on the web to draft it up? Quote, our book was written completely by the internet, explains Bushwood. Hey, you're Bushwood.
God damn it. Hey, by the way, for the record, to everybody watching, anytime you see Bushwood instead of Brushwood, you hop in the comments. Just not rudely. Just let's get it fixed. Let's get that right.
Nobody reads the entire thing, but it does have three things. A cover that looks like 50 Shades of Grey, lots and lots of sex, and characters who have jobs that we think are extremely trendy. Now I'm going to skip below. I'll get to the success part. Released on July 29th, the book already managed to climb to the number 4 spot of the iTunes top charts list, falling short only to E.L. James' trilogy. And it's no small wonder, the market for independent ebooks is booming right now. As Jeffrey Bezos, CEO of Amazon, recently wrote in a letter to shareholders, Kindle Direct Publishing has taken on an astonishing scale, and I won't read the whole thing because we've already gotten to the point that I want to illustrate, which is that me and Brian were quoted, without irony, in the same blog post as Jeff Bezos about the history and trend of ebooks. We've
so
become
awesome.
Illustrative of a publishing trend with this retarded book. And I mean that in the best possible way.
It's so amazing. Yes. Okay, people are also talking about the Telegraph. Oh, damn it. There was something I wanted to bring up about the 50 Shades of Grey lady. Yeah, it's gone. But the Telegraph thing, of course, is what kicked it all off. Is once, I mean, there was a few little blog posts here and there, but the Telegraph is big enough that everybody is ripping it off now. Or as they call it, sourcing the news.
Yeah, and basically the big thing there is that apparently now the meme, is that this is made up of our listeners' chat realms' real life sexual experiences.
Oh, that is what I wanted to say. And you know what? I am completely okay with that. I feel no need to, if organically the press begins to misreport that, to me, that's only a better story. Because
it's a sexy hook. It's a sexy hook.
And if I think that's true and I get to the three-legged Iraqi war vet, then all of a sudden I'm even more impressed with the book.
Rabbit Badger says, well, I do tenderly kiss buttholes once in a while. If they douched, he adds qualifyingly.
So, okay, here's where my biggest concern is right now. And it's such a big concern that I almost want to figure out a way for you to push it on Twit. Because right now, we have homeostasis. As long as 50 Shades is rocking, and as long as everything stays the same, as long as we continue to have a 4.5-star rating and be in that number 4 spot, I think we'll continue to stay there. However, bit by bit, the 1-star reviews come in. And let me tell you, if it gets to a point where there's 400 1-star reviews against our 1,500 5-star or 1,200 5-star reviews, now we're down to 3 stars and we lose our spot, right? So, and separately, I will say that the war of the reviews, the 1-star, 5-star battle off, is my favorite thing in the entire world. Back and forth, it is the funniest shit. So I don't know, like, should you craftily suggest on Twit that if you want to join this game that seems to be playing?
Brian, that's the beautiful thing about where we're at right now, is we don't have to ask. Like, it's a thing. Yeah. The war is on. It's happening. Like, if you want to do it, it's a very simple entry. Like,
yeah, that's true.
You know, it's like...
I'll tell you, hey, do you think it's worth it when I get back for us to record another one of these videos? Because I didn't tell you, I'm going to crash with you Monday night. Maybe we could record another one of these videos, chop it together, just saying... Because essentially the one negative thing we got from Reddit was people didn't want to give us any money. And look, it wasn't about us making money from you guys. And it's not even about us making money at all. We just needed the push to get in the top 10. Guess what? We're in the top 10 and the battle's on. And then the rest of it could be us reading the reviews back and forth and just saying, join the battle. We push that thing on Reddit. And I think they would dig that because it. Because,
yeah, well, know, I think, and also once we kind of make some decisions about the money, I mean, I think, and this is something that we'll go into a lot more, you know, I'll talk, you know, a little bit on Twitter. We're going to talk a lot on NSFW about the question of where the money's going, and, like, I think if you, and it's funny watching back to us talking on NSFW show about it. Because, like, the idea of us talking about, like, well, where's the money going to go, like, even asking us on an NSFW show, like, the way we're talking about it and the way we meant it was that, like, it's like, well, what do you mean? Like, where's $500 going to go? Like, you know, we'll just give it back to the fans.
Yes.
Like, you know, like, what a stupid fucking question. Like, it's $500. Who gives a shit? Like, you know, we're going to do something nice for the people who wrote it, and then we'll spend the rest on booze for Dragon Con. Like, it's not a fuck lot of money. That obviously has changed since then. It is now more money. We have bigger questions to ask, we have bigger decisions to make, and we'll make those in due time. But, you know, we'll go from that. But the one thing that we want to be careful about is there's a danger to expectations, and there's a danger to, you know.
Well, yeah, like, point out, like, what happened with the oatmeal guy.
Yeah, the oatmeal guy, you know, he raised a shit ton of money, and that's different because people donated for a specific thing, but, like, legally he had restrictions. Like, once he made more than what he wanted to make to give to breast cancer awareness and treatment and, you know, wildlife preservation, he wanted to give to other worthy causes. And legally, he had some entanglements there. We're not in quite the same situation since we're not soliciting it as a charity. We are selling a product.
We don't want to step in that trap.
Yeah, we also, as Q Freak points something out, which is true, that we have to pay taxes on this, which is another thing.
Yes, that's true. Well, and the other thing is the moment we even hint or suggest that we're going to do something magnanimous or charity driven, it changes us in the court of public opinion to where all of a sudden it's the public's business what we do. And whether or not that's a good thing or a bad thing, it's not a fun thing. And we're only in this for fun.
Yeah.
The other way to keep fun is for our public attitude to be, hey, fuck you, it's our idea, our money. Even though it's not our money, it's totally your money. And we've always felt like that since day one.
Well, and it's like, it's one of those things where you're like, hey, listen, if we do something cool, it's going to be something very NSFW. It's going to be something very much in the lines where everybody can feel awesome about it in the same way that they can feel awesome about the book. But it's going to be on our, you know, it's going to be done our way. You know, like, I think me and Brian are both resolute in that we have no interest in getting pushed around into doing something that we don't feel comfortable with. And we feel like there's a trust that you guys have given us, not only the hardcore Diamond Club people, but, you know, also other people who, you know, cotton to the spirit of this, that want to see something cool done.
And by the way, just here's a tease to the tease to the tease, is when we talk about the money, we're talking like 4 digits.
Yeah.
So I mean, let's keep our heads together on this. You know, this is not the king's ransom we're talking about.
No. It's certainly not anything like that until we sell the publishing rights. well, I mean, Code Monkey's like, you know, and this is my favorite part about watching this. Code Monkey X, are people really getting bent out of shape about the money? It was clear from the start there was no money for the writers or anyone, which is true. We very explicitly, in fact, I believe my quote was, this is the Huffington Post model wherein you do all the work and we reap all the benefits. Cue evil laugh.
Keep all the money.
That was very clear from the very beginning, and people were saying that the Redditors were mad about the money. The Redditors didn't write the book. Diamond Club wrote the book. Diamond Club, I've heard nothing from Diamond Club about the money. Nor do I have any expectation that I will.
See, and to be honest, that makes me wonder if we should even spend a lot of time talking about the money on NSFW. If we want to expose our buttholes for Reddit to tenderly kiss.
Well, the thing is, fuck Reddit. I mean, I'm not fuck Reddit like fuck Reddit, but like, you know, like I think I want to reveal the numbers because we're in a very interesting position, I think, for anybody who's interested in e-publishing to, you know, pull back, open the kimono on what this means. You know, what is money? What is a 99-cent hit look like in dollars and cents? You know, I think a lot of people will find that very interesting, and I think that we're in a very unique position to reveal that, because this isn't our living, you know, this isn't, you know, something that we are worried is going to taint our reputation, you know, in the industry of publishing. Like, we could give a fuck. We have the ability to reveal all this information. I think it'd be awesome if we did reveal all this information. In terms of what to do with the rest of the money, like, you know, I think that's just something where if we have you know, it's like anything else within NSFW. We have tools. What are we going to do with those tools?
Yes.
You know, we have an opportunity. What are we going to do with that opportunity?
What needs to be set on fire? That's sort of the,
and I think,
the motto for the show.
If we have the ability to do something cool, you know, like has always been the case. We want to do something cool with it. So, you know, we'll see. And also the other thing is, like, there's an evolving element to this. You know, and that's, this idea has evolved from the first call that I got in the Denver airport, with Brian talking about the idea of John Blue Cheese, John Tilton, mentioning, you know, like, oh, well, we should do, you know, something with an erotic fiction book. And we should write an erotic fiction book. And then the evolution of the Naked Came, the Stranger thing, and like everything kind of coming together the way that it did. You know, I think it's just been, it's always been up above board. It's constantly evolved from something that, like, you know, hey, fucking, I think 5 days ago, we thought this thing would spend a cup of coffee in the top 10 and then drop like a stone.
Yes.
You know?
Well, and I'll tell you what, though. Now I got a taste for it. Now it's like I want to sit there for weeks and months. As long as 50 Shades is racking up, like a little remora catching a free ride on a shark, I want to sit here with our horseshit joke and just laugh the entire way.
Which leads me to what we teased. Let me see if I can find... Where's deleted messages? Here we go.
Deleted messages. SPKSYN says, is there a hidden code for a contest for a DeLorean? Actually, there's a hidden code, but it's for a foot rub from Justin.
Exactly. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, I will now play for you the message that I got from Brian last night. Hopefully you guys can hear it. Ah, fuck beans. God damn it.
Oh, man, can't you send it as an MP3 or something and play it? Aren't you able to forward messages?
Can we?
I thought so. On iOS? I might have made that up.
No. Well, anyway, here. Let me just play it.
And by the way, hold on real quick. Pause it before you do this.
Yes.
This is my second day of nonstop. Like, I've had only 2 hours of sleep in the last 48. In the last time, we had done rehearsals. We had done the TV show. I got up early the next morning. They chased me out of my room because there was a problem with the fire alarm. Then we had to go and have production meetings to talk about possible future projects because they seemed really happy with everything. And then on top of that, I still owed 2 episodes worth of tricks to be recorded for Scam School because we wanted to do Scam Schools out here. And then I just finished all of that. And then I was talking to Bonnie and stumbled across this idea, which I thought was hilarious. And and Bonnie thought was hilarious. And so I'm already whipped into a frenzy. Like, I now am firmly committed to this is the greatest idea I've ever had. And it's clearly the next evolution, the next phase of this experiment.
Okay, here we go.
All right, Justin, do not let me forget about this idea, because at some point somebody's going to ask us what is our next plan, and our next plan is going to be that to legitimize the Diamond Club is to have a crappy parody come out of the Diamond Club that pisses off all the real fans of the Diamond Club. So that's why we are now hard at work writing the Diarrhea Club, which we have planned to release in 2 weeks. And when it does, all of our fans will buy it to put it in the top 10. And then they will give it 1-star reviews, shouting about how it's nothing like the Diamond. And it doesn't even deserve waste of a dollar. And basically, we make fun of the condition of gay people again. I'll call you back in another hour. Maybe you're awake. God damn it, it's a genius idea.
By the way, those are Ramadan prayers in the background that you're hearing when I say that. I left the room so that I can go out because I have to make all my calls from the lobby where there's Wi-Fi.
Yeah. So there we go. That was the call I woke up to this morning, which tickled me to no end for 3 reasons. Number one, how confident the idea was delivered. Number two, before we get to the title, the idea of what we need to do, since we've done something where everybody gives it 5 stars, we need something where people give it 1 star, where it's like, the idea is we need to write something that is repellent to everybody, beyond the thing that we've written that is repellent to everybody. We need something that is more repellent to even the people that like this thing.
And what I love the fact that it would be everybody goes out and buys it and then shits on it. And so then the top 10 becomes 50 Shades of Grey, the Diamond Club, 5 stars, the Diarrhea Club with a terrible parody cover and a 1 star. I'm telling you, I love it. It would be awesome.
It's ridiculous, and we're not doing it.
The book cover, I love this idea from the chat room. The book cover can be a sepia-toned picture of a roll of toilet paper. It kicks on it next to a butthole.
Yeah. So that was what I woke up to. It is by far the silliest I've ever heard, Brian, and it was amazing. It is amazing.
The vortex suggests that the cover could just be a dog shitting.
Didn't the Beastie Boys do that?
Yeah, I don't know. I know that they had that album, Some Old Bullshit,
yeah,
and it had like a golden retriever on it. Badger says maybe we'll just do it without you. Go for it. That's yes. You have our permission. Launch the diarrhea club.
The diarrhea club. And then, of course, there is the idea that somebody is enthusiastically and confidently stating as if it will be a surefire hit. Like, this is, listen, buddy, this is fucking Don Draper walking into the boardroom and pitching fucking Kodak, or pitching Polaroid with the wheel. This is Brian's pitch with the confidence of Don Draper. The diarrhea club. Something that no matter what you say before or after, the fucking point is the diarrhea club. Like, there's a club for diarrhea.
Remaining continent together is the support group for the diarrhea club.
MKO Pelkey says, sounds like a shit book.
Oh my god.
Arian says, I was already kind of turned off at trolling erotic fiction. I'm going to sit in the back and draw.
Yeah, well, and then
that's Yoshi. I mean, listen.
Yeah.
The trolling element is kind of like the easiest way that people can wrap their head around it. What, again, with success comes the ability to insufferably describe what you've done as art. And that's what we're going to do a lot.
Yes.
What really this
all,
is...
It wasn't erotic fiction that we were trolling. We were trolling specifically the runaway success and the reputation that 50 Shades of Grey has for being not a very good book, but chock full of banging. And so we wanted to try taking that to the logical extreme.
Yeah, which is to completely remove character development and completely remove plot and just make as many interesting sexual encounters for our heroine as possible. And that's what we did.
Yes.
So there we go. I mean, like, to be honest, and everybody obviously is having a very, very good time reading the 1-star reviews. To be honest, there's an element of me that I don't feel bad about selling it to them, nor do I feel bad about selling it to them in the way that we've sold it to them. But for people who genuinely don't like it, I don't take a ton of glee in it. Like, I don't think it's particularly super funny necessarily, only because, like, you know, it's like, all right, man, well, you didn't dig it. Like, that's you know, that's too bad. But at the same time, like, I don't feel bad about it. Like, I don't feel bad that, because I think there's a dollar's worth of creativity, and maybe it is misleading.
Oh yeah, keep in mind. Yes, and our goal is not to tackle and be like, ha ha, you like this kind of book, but and that's why it's funny that you bought ours, because fuck you. But it's like, no, it's like, you know, hey man, it's rad that you like banging. You like bang? We came up with some of the bang-worthiest banging this side of Bangtown.
Exactly. All right, so JJ702561 writes, hey, has anyone gotten E.L. James's point of view on the book? That's whose opinion I really want. If we ever get to the point where E.L. James comments about the Diamond Club, I will pee in a trash can.
Okay, which means you already have.
I didn't pee in a trash can.
I'm pretty sure we got video footage of it.
No, was I really peeing in a trash can, or was that just a joke?
You know what's funny is I honestly don't remember.
I don't think so. I didn't think we found it.
That was a great night. Is all I remember.
That was a great night. Yeah. So listen. Man, it's been crazy. It's been absolutely insane. I would love, I mean, to be honest, in all honesty, you know, I think if there's anything that in hindsight, I think it was necessary to get the word out to people, but, it's not the whole story of like the, like, fuck 50 Shades of Grey. Cause I don't really think fuck 50 Shades of Grey. Like it's an experiment and it's an idea. But, like, I have nothing but respect for E.L. James. I have nothing but respect for that series. I mean, if you look at just anything that can touch on culture the way that she did and then get like the, you know, like the movie deal she got out of that?
Like, yeah.
She got like final cut privileges on the movie. Like, that's how big the bidding war was. Like, that shit never happens for authors. Like, Stephen King doesn't get that kind of shit. Like, there's a reason why Stephen King is not thrilled with the Stanley Kubrick version of The Shining. Because, like, you can have script approval. That's fairly often for hit. They're fairly, you know, but that's rare. It's rare for books to get optioned like that. Only mega hit books or mega established authors get script approval. You know, final cut approval? That's crazy pants McGillicuddy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I have respect for E.L. James. I think she's great. I think she's fantastic. I think that the success she's had, the legitimacy she's brought to the ebook and e-publishing world has been remarkable. Obviously, this is our project is an echo of that, and she is the mama bear to something like this. We are having a lot of fun with it. But at the same time, man, fuck. All cheers to her. I would love to hear what she thinks about the book, and I hope that if she hates it, that she knows that we like her.
That's just the King's speech right there.
There we go. There we go.
All right, man. Well, look, I think I'm going to looks like I start some breakfast here. I am heading back home today, so I will have very brief moments of connectivity. And during those times, if anyone wants to chat over Twitter, I will be available and very, very interested in talking to any other living being.
There we go. Get back in. So yeah. keep an eye on at Reply Shuwood on Twitter, and he'll fucking Twitter chat your ear off, because he's, what do you have, nothing but fucking 24 hours in a plane?
Yeah, pretty much. And it's weird because, like, you know, I'm in the future, right? Today is the 5th. Right now, it is August 5th. And when I, in 6 hours, no, I'm sorry, in 8 hours, I get on a plane, and then I'm going to spend 20 hours on that plane, and then when I land, it will be 8 o'clock in the evening on August 5th.
Yeah. That's nuts. That's fucking nuts. So are you staying in our apartment on Sunday night?
No. It was like crazy pants, to get a rental car for a week and a day. So I only got one that I'm going to pick up Monday morning. So instead, what I'm going to do is just take a shuttle to a hotel Sunday night, and then I got to drop off Meeks at the airport, and then pick up a rental car, and then I'll come over Monday. Are you around during the day on Monday?
Yeah, I believe so. We'll figure it out. This is stuff we don't need to talk about on, you know.
How else will everyone else know to come join us?
Exactly. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, of course, the legendary Brian Brushwood. There you go. All right, Brian.
Bye, guys.
Talk to you.
See
you. All right. I did want to do one last thing before we wrap up this very special edition of Jury Saturday. I was not planning. I had a whole thing planned on why. Here, I'll run through what I planned on talking about. Number one, I won the movie draft. Of course, there's a couple weeks left, but I won it. Total Recall took a shit, and that means that Tom isn't going to catch me, and that means that Sarah, because Dark Knight's not going to do Avengers money, I won, okay? In terms of politics, I believe that the Chick-fil-A gay rights issue that is happening right now is a reaction to people who would otherwise be very, very energized Obama voters who are not outwardly but inwardly disappointed with the presidency of President Obama and wish that he would take more of a proactive stance on this stuff. And I believe that that will lead, by the time that we get to Election Day, Obama being more forthright about actual policy that he would lay out to gay rights, and we might see another thing on gun control, that he will step up rhetoric and, if not, offer specific policy plans for both of those. And here's the last thing, and this is something that I wanted to open up with. When, and I'm going to end this on a bit of a melancholy. I would like to think of an inspiring note, because I thought about it a lot. You know, this has been a bit of a weird week for me, not only because I was traveling and the Diamond Club thing happened, but also I had a bit of an issue, and I didn't. There was a thing that happened in my family where my aunt. Let me back it up. I was raised, by and large, since from the age of 8, my brother was 5, by a man that wasn't my father. My father, my mom, my dad got divorced. My dad was largely out of the picture, although intermittently was more kind of in. And we were raised kind of day to day by my mom's boyfriend, Ron, who is my dad. For all intents and purposes, he is absolutely a father to me. He is my father. His uncle and his aunt are Jimmy and Sharon, and we all just call them Uncle Jimmy and Aunt Sharon, me and my brother. Now, when we were growing up, I mean, we were his nephew's girlfriend's kids, you know. There wasn't a lot that, you know, he had to go on, but he, to say that they were kind to us would be an absolute understatement. You know, both of them, I mean, they were just very unique humans. I mean, my uncle Jim was a fucking curiosity of a human being. He was massive. You know, he had a neck like a football player, and I'm not even fucking around. This dude drank like a case of Milwaukee's Best a day. And that's not hyperbole. Like, he would literally, like, fucking from wake up to go to sleep, he was a huge dude, a muscular dude, and he would just drink a fucking case. Like, we're talking in, like, the double digits, in the 20s of beers per day. He would just drink steadily throughout the day, and he would never really get drunk. He would just get fucking giggly. Like, he was such an amazing human being. And Sharon was the same. She was just, they're both so kind. And that family, Ron's family, is, they're great, but they can get crazy at times. You know, they're kind of crazy people, but I love them all, and specifically Jimmy and Sharon. About a year ago, Sharon was diagnosed with cancer, and she, you know, that one thing about that family is that they're really weird about medicine, and they don't, you know, they procrastinate, and they think they can heal things on their own, and you know, that kind of came to bite them. Sharon died this week, and Jimmy died shortly after. But it really made me think, especially with the Diamond Club thing, what it means to have feelings for people that would otherwise be strangers. What that means, and what that means about you, what that means about the ability and capacity to do it. In the same way that they looked at their nephew's kids and said, you know what, we want to really put time and care and love into these kids. You know, and in a small way, you know, I think that's what binds us with the podcast. That's what binds us. That concept is what binds us with projects like the Diamond Club, is to look at, you know, it might even be, you know, just you guys, just names in a chat room. It might be faces in a hangout. It might be, you know, reviews on iTunes. But in taking a bunch of people that you don't know and showing them that in some small way, even if it's just on a common interest, you love them and you care about them, that means a lot. That's the thing I'm most proud of with the Diamond Club, and that's the thing that I'm most proud of with NSFW. It's the thing I'm most proud of with Chat Realm, because I love all you guys, and the fact that you guys, you know, share, you know, your own emotions and your own feelings, and we can all do these things together. Yeah, it means a lot. I don't let anybody tell you that it doesn't, you know, because it does. It's that I think makes us better human beings, and the more that we pay attention to stuff like that, the better off we're going to be, even if it's in something as absolutely silly as fucking, you know, the Diamond Club. So just know that, man. You guys are awesome. I love you guys. And I will see you all next week on Jury Saturday. I think it's definitely going to be Saturdays from here on out, by the way. But tomorrow I'll be on Twit. Tuesday I'm on NSFW. Hopefully we'll have a Weird Things this week. Sorry for going off week with Weird Things. But until next time, folks, please don't die before the next episode of Jury Saturday. We got a date for fucking Dragon Con and its FW show. It's going to be Sunday at 8:30. I think it's 8:30. Maybe 9:30. Be there or be square. Anyway, that's it. There we go. See you later, folks. I love all of you.